A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
If you're struggling to lose weight, you've probably heard about weight loss medications like Wegovy or Zepbound, and you might be wondering if they're right for you. Meet PlushCare, a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. If you qualify, they can safely prescribe you medication from the comfort of your own home. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Who I think you are.
Let's not take the piss here.
Let's not take the piss here.
Right, okay. If you've got the feeling, jump up, touch the ceiling, everybody. Welcome to the Football Ramble Preview Show, sponsored by Betfair. England bloody beat Italy. It's Friday, 24th of March. I'm Marcus Speller.
I'm Jim Campbell.
I'm Luke Moore.
And I'm Pete Donaldson. Mamma mia, good to have you with us, everybody. It's a fabulous Friday. Isn't top it? Of the group. You're having a love. Before we get to that, though.
You're having a love.
Yeah. Love, laugh, dance.
Live, laugh, love.
Dance Pete, like no live, one's laugh, watching.
Love. Peter, love wins.
England are loving this equation, are they?
They're definitely.
There they are. And by the way, before we talk about all that stuff, this week, the Football Ramble, us here.
Us.
We only hit 150 million downloads.
150 million downloads.
In a day.
No, not in a day, I don't think.
No. 150 million. Thank you very much. Every last one of you have downloaded an episode of this podcast to listen to us ramble on about football. It really does mean a lot. Thank you for journeying with us. And it was such a milestone, I think. That
thought it's worth mentioning.
I think it was the only milestone recently that England or English people have done recently.
What's the others?
I think Kane did something.
No. Has he done 150 million? Though? Come back to us, Harry, when you've done 150 million. No, thank you very much to anyone who's ever downloaded it.
Yeah, bloody pleasure.
Appreciate it.
And what a day to announce that, Jim, with England beating Italy 2-1 in Italy. They won there for the first time since 1961 and also won a game on Channel 4.
Yeah,
I mean, shout out Jules Breach.
Yeah,
the curse is over.
She has persevered.
Yeah,
she has. Yeah, it was interesting to me how I felt before the game actually, because I was sort of expecting England to get something actually, and I had to check myself and think I don't remember feeling like this about a fixture like this before.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I thought England were going to win right the way through that whole 93, five minutes.
It's interesting you say that, Marcus, because we chatted on the phone during the day yesterday and I said it'll be Italy 1, England 0, and you said yes.
Yeah, no, I was just mugging you off.
You're trying to get me off the phone.
Yeah, but I also... You can't prove that, but I did. Annoyingly, I did send to the group, I sent a picture of Jack Grealish. He had a cap on and his hood up. I think he has about three hoods at any given time. Yeah. Always got his hood up with England duty, Jack Grealish. And I said, he means business tonight, a goal and an assist. Didn't get either.
I just want a Tory MP to hug me.
But yeah, it's England. They did it, despite going down to 10 men, of course. Mm. But Harry Kane became England's all-time record goal scorer with 54 goals. And he said after, I remember when I gave Wayne Rooney the boot for breaking the record, and he said he would be giving it back to me one day. A special man. That is quite lovely, isn't it? Mm. And on Twitter, Jim, did you see that Wayne Rooney congratulated Harry Kane? Harry Kane said, oh, you know, thanks very much. And then Sir Geoff Hurst got involved. Oh. I was like, all right, lads, don't forget me. No, he said, you know, well done. Or,
no, but whenever Geoff Hurst gets involved in anything, you start to get the fear. You start to think, oh, what's he going
to
say?
To be fair, though, if he keeps it to just football, like when he said after the World Cup final, because Mbappe scored a hat-trick, became the second man, he said, oh, you know, I've had a good run as being the only man who scored a hat-trick in a World Cup final.
That's true.
But look, going back to Harry Kane, though, I think it kind of... Certainly not for England. I think under Southgate and this kind of, well, it's not a new regime anymore, but all the stuff that's been going on behind the scenes with England, they're very, very aware of the legacy. Jim, the Kiwi chap you interviewed?
Yes, Owen Eastwood.
Owen Eastwood, yeah, very, very keen when he worked with England. I don't know if he still does, but he certainly did. Talking about legacy and trying to... make everybody aware that you're a part of something bigger.
Yeah, leave the shirt in a better place than you found it is a big part of excuse me, philosophy.
Exactly. And so with Kane doing this, I think they're very aware, as you saw with some of the scenes and photos and whatnot afterwards when they were congratulating and you know, honouring Kane with that award. But we are witnessing the greatest goal scorer in the history of the England national team. Yeah. And I think I kind of forget that sometimes.
48 of those goals are in competitive internationals as well. There's no like stat padding, if you want to use that phrase. It's, I mean, I don't know why he's not like absolutely smashing teams in friendlies when he clearly could before. But I mean, there's a lot more goals to come as well, you would think.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, people will say, yeah, but a lot of penalties. Well, as he himself said, you know, hasn't always scored them for England, you know.
No. But apparently, according to ESPN, 18 of them have been penalties. So a third of them exactly have been penalties.
But you've got to bury them under. You know,
I don't understand
pressure.
What the problem is. I mean,
it's a football match, and also like he's a player who will continue to score goals. It's not like he's never been the quickest, and he's a real kind of like he works really, really hard. He's a guy who will be working really hard until the time he decides to retire. So he's always going to score goals, and he's not going to slow up at any point. He's not going to Vardy, is he?
No. That's a good point.
The only player I'll ever criticise in a comedy fashion for scoring loads of penalties is Cristiano Ronaldo.
Yeah.
And I think that's the way it should be.
Every single one of his goals for Portugal have been...
against Liechtenstein and from the penalty spot.
Exactly.
He just
dubious
stops,
penalties.
Wherever he is, he just stops the ball, puts it down, and then hoofs it.
Kane's got a number of other records for England as well, isn't he? Like goals in the calendar year and goals per game ratio and all that kind of stuff. Among the top scorers, I think he's got the best goals per game ratio as well. You're absolutely right, Marcus. There is an element always, I think, that you don't ever fully appreciate a player until you can look at it in the rearview mirror and go, wow, fucking hell, he's actually amazing. So he is making history. He is delivering an astonishing amount of goals at an astonishing ratio for international football.
I think Jimmy Greaves is maybe slightly better in terms of ratio. I mean, Greaves was ridiculous. But I mean, again, you're being named in that kind of company. Sort of and also, I think off the top of my head, has he got 12? Give or take tournament goals as well for England, which is impressive. And Gary Lineker, I think, again, off the top of my head, got 10. So, you know, it's very, very impressive stuff. And his performance was good as well. Yeah. I mean, the first half, of course, England were very, very good.
It was a Sven tribute, wasn't it?
It was a really mighty old Sven tribute.
A little bit of, you know, 1997 as well, that 0-0 thrown in. It kind of felt like that.
That was such an epic game, wasn't it?
Well, you could almost argue, people were comparing it to the Euros final, of course, when Italy won on penalties, lest we forget. But that first half with England, you know, Italy started quite quickly. But England soon gained control. And with the youthful exuberance that they have in midfield, most notably with Jude Bellingham, it looks pretty good. Southgate has changed formation at times and so on. And with a 4-3-3, you often wondered at England a little bit fragile at the back, which they are. But actually, if you go for a little bit more industry in midfield, and industry sounds a bit harsh, actually. It doesn't really get to grips with Bellingham's tools and Rice, what he can bring to the table.
But that's what Jude Bellingham is, isn't he? He's just, I'll take control of this. Yeah.
He's a magnificent footballer.
Yeah, he does everything.
He makes England a lot better.
And the reason that they tired towards the end and the second half was so difficult, I felt like, was because Calvin Phillips hasn't played as much football. Yeah. So he started to tire. You know, and obviously, is it obvious? I think it probably is obvious. Marcus will tell me if I'm wrong, that if Henderson had been in training and been fully fit, he would have played.
I would have thought so.
Phillips wouldn't have played. Because part of me wanted to say in the studio today, you can't expect to do stuff and achieve things and win things if you're going to have players in midfield who don't actually play. Because Phillips doesn't play. He's like a toy that you've never got out of the box. Mm. He doesn't actually... he doesn't actually feature for Man City. So
he was injured for a lot of the season.
He has been unlucky with injuries, but he's not been able to force his way into that team.
Because Maguire has started a few games. There's not many, but he has started a few games.
Being on the bench in Manchester United and Manchester City, two very different things, you would say, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you're going to get more medals at one than the other. Although one already has a medal.
Exactly.
But I think Pete, in the Maguire case, you know, maybe it's an old-fashioned thing to say, perhaps. And I never want to go full Graham Souness, but you want defenders to be playing. You really want defenders to be playing. If you're a midfield player or a forward player, you can essentially have a role where you come on and you affect a game later on. Defensively, you don't really do that. Potentially if you're a full back, but not if you're a centre back.
Well, the centre half is back. It's about the focus.
Exactly.
Whereas midfield, of course, every position's about focus, but midfield, you need more energy. And if you're not starting games, where are you getting that energy from?
One poor decision can be an absolute disaster. I mean, if you look at Calvin Phillips, he had that shot when he had the opportunity to put Harry Kane through and he got a bollocking for it. You know,
I was amazed he did that, actually.
Yeah.
But he's not that type of player, though.
Well, exactly, but it shows of...
confidence, man.
Well, but rust as well, though, right? Because that's a poor decision, right? So his decision-making is
is it confidence?
Well, I could argue the opposite. I could say that he found it. He was having a lovely old time. England were doing well. He thought, I'm going to have a shot.
Yeah, but I think...
Marcus, I'd like to hear from you, please. Yeah. Wow. Rust our confidence.
I'm trying to find...
Rusty confidence.
Is there a thing of rusty confidence?
Great
maybe.
Country singer.
I think it's a bit of both. But either way, it was a bad decision.
And you had the greatest chance to make it three as
well. If that goes in, you're thinking, like, Munich.
That would have been up there with the half I always bang on about away in Spain, in Sevilla, the 3-2 against Spain.
No, I'll be thinking, if that goes in, this will be the best 3-3 draw I've ever seen.
I don't know how he's hit it like that. Yeah. Such a strange shot.
It was
shot.
A strange one, yeah. I mean, like,
too much time to do something beautiful with it, though, wasn't it? I mean, trying to put his foot through
it. He's had to think, and we all know what happens.
Yeah.
I'm going to stroke this.
The thing is, though, with England, like, if they... You know, with games, there was a sort of 5-10 minutes where it really opened up, kind of thing. And England, you know, I mean, they scored both goals, of course. It was on the 13th and the 44th minute. The fact is, England's first half performance was enough to win the game.
Yes, it was.
So when all said and done, you know, people can be a bit disappointed at the second half performance. Absolutely, you know, Gareth Southgate was. But don't forget that first half performance. You know, the game's 90 minutes. Mm-hmm. But of course, you want England more. To play more in that second half. And in the first half, again, they talked about the control, talked about creating chances. Mm. You know, England looked brilliant. They could have been three up, should have been three up at half-time. In the second half, Italy did what they did in the Euros final. They suddenly went, right, we're going to press them, we're going to push them. And we've seen this time and time and time again with England. So the worrying thing is, in the second half, it was the same old story. Yes, they held on and they held firm. People will say this is a below-par Italian side. It is. It's not as good as the Euros final Italy team. And if people have been a little bit critical of, oh, well, that wasn't a great Italian team. Well, actually, if you look at the teams, more experience and bigger players than England had in that final, without going on about that. But you had the same midfield, Jorginho, Verratti and Barella, that started that Euros final. So you have a much more experienced and much more sort of refined midfield, if you like. And you saw what happens when they step to England. And it is that midfield battle. The pleasing thing was that England, despite losing that goal, Italy didn't really look like they had a lot of pressure. They didn't look like scoring that much. I know people might say, oh, come on, it was a bit nervy. It was nervy, but England defended fairly well and Italy were restricted, which is a good thing.
Totally.
And the goal, of course, was a Maguire error.
The only shot Italy had on target was the goal.
That's right.
So you have to put that in mind. So actually, the mistake that Maguire makes, which he then compounds with a further mistake, is a key reason why England played the last half an hour under a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Because it gives Italy heart. Mm-hmm. The crowd get into it. We've been to that stadium. So it can be a pretty cold run like atmosphere. It gives Italy so much more than just a goal. It gives them a chance of getting something out of the game, which, based on the first half performance, as Marcus and Jim and you've already said, was absolutely there was no chance they were going to be in it at all.
Yeah.
And to me, I understand that defenders these days, they want to go out and they want to make things happen. That happens a lot. We talk about, who did we talk about before? Christian Romero, when he got sent off for Spurs quite recently. He goes out there, he makes things happen. He starts attacks, all the rest of it. Mm. Maguire doesn't need to do any of the stuff he does to make that mistake, to compound that mistake.
If you give the ball away, all right, take your medicine,
get back in position because the goal was scored exactly from where he should be.
Exactly.
And he compounds it with another poor decision, which to me feels like it's because he's not playing very much that means it happens. He's got that in his locker anyway, that kind of clumsiness anyway. Mm-hmm. But then, you know, so you point out all his faults and point out what he's doing to hurt England in that situation. But then you have to come on, as I've said, the second half of the conversation where you say, well, who's going to play instead? And it's tough to make an argument.
Yeah. Do you think part of that is the aspects of game management that Southgate often attempts in these situations in the second half? Because obviously they were very defensive when they came out. It's all about containment early on in the second half in particular. And I never feel comfortable with that purely because, of course, you have to manage games, but it gives teams the time to build the pressure. It's not necessarily about, being vulnerable to conceding straight away, but you essentially hand the opposition a lot of time in which to figure you out. And we've seen that happen to England and seen them not have really an answer to it
it's
when they have then been figured out. And
over the
exactly,
years.
It's like he's exercised a lot of demon Southgate and reverting to type is the main one that he needs to get rid of.
The only example I can think of where England haven't done that was the game against Germany in the Euros.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if that's because, and there might be other games, Marcus, that you can remember better than me, but that might be because Germany weren't actually that good and it was at Wembley and England were pumping and they were really up for it. But I don't see why, perhaps because of the lack of legs in midfield, as we talked about with Phillips, I don't see why they kind of hand over so much control and so much lack of initiative.
But if you're going to do that, then play on the break and hit them on the break. And I know things are easier said than done, but England have got players to do that. Saka gave them so many problems.
Mm. Yeah.
You know, Kane's hold-up play was great. I mean, Kane performed very, very well.
Yeah, he was fantastic.
Players like Lorenzo who were there for the taking.
Yeah. Exactly, yeah.
They're creaky.
Indeed, Bonucci, who is old, you know, he's ageing, he wasn't playing. So, you know, one of their main defenders, you might argue. You know, I think that's one of the things that England need to do. And that's one of the things that England can do because of the players they have. Grealish is a great outlet as well. And if not, then Foden can come on.
There's a lot there.
Yeah, exactly. And when Sterling's fit, he's another
Foden
one.
Got a good 12 minutes.
I know, poor old Foden. But I mean, he was sacrificed, wasn't he? It was a show. As soon as the sending off...
He was sacrificed?
Wow.
That seems fucking harsh.
Figuratively.
Well, just because Luke Shaw got sent off?
Figuratively speaking.
That's a really diplomatic incident across the Manchester divide, that.
But I think that with England, you know, you've got to get out. And if you just pump long balls... Do you know what I mean? To be honest with you, if you're going to do that, bring on Tony. He does that for Brentford, doesn't he? Do you know what I mean? Like, if you're going to revert to type, that's the funny thing. But obviously, that's a bit of a sort of silly point to make.
I do think they deserve immense credit for hanging on to that lead with 10 men. They didn't look in much danger of losing it. They're really professional, really, really organised.
But they were smashing the ball out of defence at times just to clear the ball. It didn't look that assured, did it?
Bearing in mind, you know, England have not won in Italy since 1961.
Yeah, there's that as well. Yeah.
You know, Italy's record in the qualifiers, despite not qualifying for the World Cup is good. It's their first defeat in 41 Euro qualifiers. Mm. Obviously, you've got World Cup qualifiers in there, which would give it a slightly different view, but only very slightly. You know, England don't beat Italy often in a competitive, and sadly, they don't count Le Tournoi as a proper competitive match. It's been a long time. So it is a very good win. You can't get away from that. And it was a very good half, you know, but the second half, it's that reverting to type.
Absolutely.
People are a bit like, come on.
Gives you some concerns, doesn't it? It seems to me almost that England makes some sort of assumptions when they leave. It's like they think, right, we've got as many goals as we're going to score now.
Yep.
It's impossible for us to score anymore. Stop trying.
Yeah.
What we have, we hold. And it's not necessarily the case. And I think it's that way that England can become quite passive in really key moments of the game is very clearly still there. Mm-hmm. And that is what needs to be removed next.
Yeah, I do agree. I thought the referee was a little bit card happy.
He likes to be involved.
It does like to be involved. Now, I thought the penalty was a penalty. I wasn't sure at first, but you can just see the arm lingers and then makes a slight movement towards the ball, which is not a natural movement.
The Italian players did kind of make it a tough going to referee, though.
They will do that.
You have a situation where sometimes you can genuinely see where, and then maybe you could argue with the Maguire on Barella thing where he goes over the top and hits him on the top of the foot.
Mm.
With the way that there's a lack of protection in football boots,
it's a nasty one, though.
Yeah, you can see why that would have been annoying to players because they're like, hang on a minute, you're fucking late.
Yeah.
That's clumsy, and you could have really hurt one of our key players, and plus he's our friend and all the rest of it. So you get all that. But they were really combative on every little decision.
Yeah.
And that's what frustrates me. Not because they're Italian, not because it's bloody foreigners and all the rest of it, but as a general rule, it happens in the Premier League every week, and English players are just as bad at it half the time. What annoys me more than anything else with that kind of situation is, like, you're on the break, right? And there's a foul to stop the break, and the player gets a yellow card. And then the players just go on for 30 seconds.
Yeah.
It's like, look, We know what's happened. Yeah. The foul's been given. Yeah. The yellow card's been given. That's the fucking law.
Yeah.
What do you expect's going to happen that's any different?
Yeah, I know,
you're not going to get anything different to that. Mm. So just get on with it. It's not like you can argue that particular decision because it's exactly how it happens every single time.
Mm. Not many people know this, but in rugby, only the captain can talk to the referee.
Yeah.
We could learn so much from
Couldn't
them.
We?
Yeah. I mean, how many of those England players drank their own piss after the game, for example? Yeah.
How are they going to bond?
Yeah.
Grealish by accident.
In New York.
In New York.
Which we've heard a lot about, haven't we?
This tea tastes horrible.
Well, Marcus Rashford revealed on social media that he's currently having some downtime in New York while he recovers from
They're
injury.
They're all at it. They'd love a bit
it's
of
a cheeky little trip. There's very little jet lag. You just sort of pop over there for a couple of days.
There's not very little jet lag in my experience.
Well, Luke
Moore. Five hours behind, Pete.
That can take five hours.
My goodness. I'm sure he's doing okay. I mean, Jack Grealish was speaking about his time in New York, of course, after the disappointment of the World Cup. That's where he went, and because he took the Home Alone tour, of course. He said, it was a little bucket list moment for me. I stayed in the hotel, the same hotel, and you could get some mad room service, like 16 scoops of ice cream, like what he got in the film.
Him with his little pop gun pointing it at the letterbox. I just can't.
Like he's like the brilliant anti Kevin McAllister, isn't he? Because in the Home Alone movies, anyone who comes near Kevin McAllister falls over.
Right.
But anyone who comes near Jack Grealish falls over.
Yeah. He's got the skids on some micro machines. There was a story this week where five kids on Staten Island had decided to explore the sewage system. They got found. But I did worry one of them was Jack Grealish. He'd been watching the Ninja Turtles.
Oh, dearie me.
Like Shredder. No, Splinter.
Yeah.
Like Splinter, they've always set up. Ignore me.
Yeah, it's all right, don't worry.
He did sometimes when he went out, I think. Raphael used to wear a hat and
Casey
Jones.
He had the ice hockey mask.
He had the ice hockey mask, yeah.
Well, Jack Grealish said that he didn't get to meet the mad pigeon woman.
Disrespectful.
Just him in Central Park, freezing cold. Just
where
looking
is
for the
she?
Mad
I love that he
woman.
Doesn't understand that he's not really walking around the movie.
Yeah. But I never realised how much stuff had been filmed there in Central Park. I felt like a right little tourist.
Well, you are a tourist.
Yeah.
He's not a native Brooklynite.
No, but I think you can...
He needs to be protected.
Jack Grealish is a tourist wherever he goes. Let's be absolutely clear.
Fucking library.
Yeah, that's true, yeah. Speaking of sort of odd things and footballers, do you hear that John Joe Shelvey, England international, three caps, I believe.
One of your faves.
Right in there.
One of our faves.
Yeah.
Revealed this week that he offered John Legend $50,000 to play one song at his wedding. And John Legend said no.
It's not enough money. Why is he complaining about it? $50,000 is just not enough money.
I'm not sure if Shelvey was complaining. I think he was...
I think you're also...
Why are we hearing about it then?
Get a tribute.
Yeah.
Get a tribute.
I mean, $50,000 is nowhere near enough for like 12-time Grammy-winning artist John Legend to come to, let's face it, probably a less than salubrious part of the UK to go to a wedding with... I don't want to cast aspersions. There's definitely going to be a punch-up at a Shelvey wedding, is all I'm saying. Do you want to be on the end of it?
There's definitely a chance. Yeah. Well,
part of the entertainment.
I've just been handed a quote, Jim. He was complaining. Yeah. Shelvey said, I offered him like $50,000. $50,000 to sing one song, and he just turned it down. And I'm thinking, come on, mate, $50,000 as well to sing one song.
What's happened there is
he doesn't understand the bigger picture.
No, what's happened there is John Joe Shelvey is probably quite used to, as a lot of modern footballers are, I expect, of throwing money at something and expecting everyone to say yes in return. Mm, yeah. John Legend is more affluent than John Joe Shelvey. He's gone the wrong way. Yeah, he's gone the wrong way.
Do you think if he saw John Legend, he would have a go at him like he did that time to Alex Ferguson?
It's your fucking fault.
Wedding got nulled. Your fucking fault.
Get John Legend on the FaceTime. Your fucking fault. These vows.
Oh, dear. Well, of course, John Joe Shelvey won't be involved with England when they face Ukraine.
At the time of recording.
No, well, the squad is set.
What about there's an injury? What about this 320 injuries?
There's only 88 England players in the Premier League or something like that, wasn't there?
Do you remember when John Joe Shelvey bought a Hoover from Comet because they were closing down and everyone had a go at him?
No. Why?
Back in the day, he bought a Hoover from Comet and he tweeted about it and they were sort of going, why are you being so cheap?
Yeah,
and so I'm just saying that like he's trying to get John Legend on the cheap.
He is.
I just pulled that out of my brain.
No, you're right. I find that a bit funny. Like when Xavi, the Barcelona manager, when he was a player, he was seen on an EasyJet flight and they'd be like, oh, what are you doing? It's like, well...
Sometimes it's the only way.
My issue with this is
Conte as well did that recently. Ryanair flight.
It's just that's about efficiency there, right?
Right.
The the issue I have with this is that I had a conversation with Pete before we record the show today about someone we work with every single day whose name he couldn't remember. Yeah. Yet he can remember that in 2012, John Joe Shelby bought a Hoover from Comet in a sale.
Correct.
That was 11 years ago.
He has forgotten my name on air before when he called me Martin that time.
Was it Glenn Johnson who changed the box of a toilet seat? Put a more expensive one in a cheaper one. And got caught and seemed to think it was the funniest thing in the world, not unreasonably.
I mean, that is funny.
John Joe Shelby apparently bought a Henry the Hoover, which is the best Hoover going.
It is the best Hoover.
He also bought a tumble dryer and a washing machine, apparently.
There we go. Get it all done in one trip.
Were they Henry's?
I would assume so.
He called up John Ledger, said, can you fit this tumble dryer for me? I'll give you 50 grand.
51 grand.
John Ledger was like, who are you?
Oh, dearie me. Yes, well, so England facing Ukraine at Wembley on Sunday. And of course, I mean, if England win that game, which they'll be favourites to do so, 6 points from the first two games, obviously you can't ask much
They'll
more.
They'll be overwhelming favourites to qualify, even good. After last night's game.
Yeah, and I would imagine top spot is what England would, well, obviously that's what they want, but that people say the top two go through, but if you start talking about seeded teams for the Euros and so on, that often, that does mean something.
Why can't they do this in the Nations League?
Yeah, well,
why
Peter.
Why can't they turn this kind of performance? They're getting relegated.
I think England, whatever happens, will somehow conspire to be knocked out in the quarterfinal of the Euros, whatever route they take.
Argentina, inexplicably.
Yeah. Well, Emi Martinez on his own.
Or we'll stop Italy from qualifying and they'll still knock us out.
Yeah. Indeed, yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, it's sounding like old Sven's days as England manager. And on that, next week, we have a sexy Football Ramble guide lined up for you. At long last, on Tuesday, we're bringing you the Football Ramble's guide to Sven-Göran Eriksson's England. That'll drop in your podcast app first thing on Tuesday morning.
Yeah, I remember recording that.
Bit of morning glory for you.
Very much so. We recorded that a couple of days ago, and Marcus, you were very defensive on Sven when we tried to criticise him.
The balding smoothie, Sven-Göran Eriksson. Sven was hot property. It is beautiful. International man of mystery.
Is there anything you'll accept as a criticism of this Sven regime?
All right.
But you want me to answer that, or should we wait until Tuesday?
A little taster for you.
Oh, there he was. There he bloody was. Gentlemen, enough of the Sven stuff. Elsewhere last night, we don't know his whereabouts last night, but we do know that Northern Ireland were in San Marino and they won 2-0.
Yeah, I felt sorry for Dion Charles, the Bolton forward who scored, I think, his first two goals for Northern Ireland, but he certainly scored two anyway.
Yeah.
And in the post-match interview, he was listed as first name, second name.
That was very strange, isn't it?
Nice moment for his family. Yeah. He could maybe make it to San Marino watching it on telly. Uh-huh. Oh, here it comes. Yeah. Big moment, get the popcorn out.
First goals for Northern Ireland.
That could be anyone.
Brought pride to the second name family, though.
Yeah, exactly. Great two goals by second name.
Yeah, love that. Yeah, he's having a great season at Bolton Wanderers, by the way. It's good for him to get up and running for Northern Ireland. And of course, O'Neill back in the hot seat. Mm-hmm. We're Northern Ireland. Just staying in Europe for the moment, Cristiano Ronaldo won his 197th international cap last night, making him the most capped male international footballer of all time. He also scored his 119th and 120th international goals. One, of course, was a penalty. Yeah. I'm just going to assume, but both were.
No, one was quite a nice free kick.
Was it?
Yeah.
Which is like a penalty, isn't it?
Yeah, it's just a bit further out. Mm. Yeah.
That is 120 international goals.
The mask is starting to slip, isn't it, with Cristiano?
Do you think?
You can see how poor a player he is.
It's a good record, though.
Yeah, it's very good. Yeah. It's fucking amazing.
You'd be foolish to deny it.
I mean, the thing about Cristiano Ronaldo is, there's a lot of reasons to think he's a complete bellend, right? A lot of reasons, right? To the point where you would,
all right.
we can't go through them all, but undoubtedly, he is a ridiculous football player.
Yeah, I mean, he's going to become the first 200 cap international player soon, isn't he? Which is
be funny if they went now. Nah.
Yeah. Well, it'd be funny. Who's like close to him? That Mexican guy, Guardado. He could make it. Yeah. Realistically, he's 34, 32, 34. So wait until Ronaldo retires.
Yeah.
And then
the record he took was from a Kuwaiti player, I think.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
But I think they're retired, though, aren't they?
Yeah.
Is Ronaldo a bit annoyed that in the same round of international fixtures, Lionel Messi also scored?
What I'd like to happen is Lionel Messi, I mean, he would never do this, but I'd like him to, on his social media accounts, every time Cristiano Ronaldo does something impressive but small, like score a goal, Messi sends him a message of congratulations, but the World Cup trophy's in shot every single day.
Yeah. Messi's 800.
Maybe with Martinez fucking it.
Well, there was a lot of them doing that. Did you see that?
Yeah.
Little tribute for the play. I mean, that's
it's a tribute now,
is it? It is. It really is. In Argentina, and all this chat about for people, one or two people going, well, it's a bit disrespectful doing it. Again, Argentina absolutely love
yeah.
it.
Yeah.
They want
oh,
to...
it isn't what you want to see. It's exactly yeah. what we and didn't know we wanted to see.
The fact that, yeah. I don't know what yours, guys, it does look a bit like a wanger. So it does. Look, yeah. don't mean, make it look like a wanger.
It's not
we
a
won't
cup,
make
is it?
Wangery things.
It's not a cup.
Exactly.
No.
World penis.
Yeah. Exactly.
But it's proper head on it as well, Jim.
Yeah.
World cock.
when I complained about Martinez doing that...
He shouldn't have got the Dremel
cup.
Out and put a big ball in the top.
Pete said that he liked it because Martinez treats the sport with exactly the amount of respect it deserves. Yeah. And I was on side automatically.
I mean, Argentina, like, again, you even had like some Brazilian saying, oh, you know what, for Messi and all we want, we wouldn't mind them to win the World Cup. Argentina won't go, oh, appreciate the support, but they'll just go, ah!
Yeah, absolutely.
That is, they absolutely
we got your cup, we fucking it.
Argentina would be like, oh, what's that, sir? I can't hear you because you haven't won the World Cup.
Yeah, exactly. That's yeah. very much what they're like. Yeah, I mean, the atmosphere pre-match against their friendly against Panama was ridiculous. If you haven't yeah. seen it, it's like nothing you'll ever see, really. I think their fans are, I know it's pointless to say the most passionate, but they are, it is unbelievable.
Yeah, Messi and Martinez in particular, pretty much in tears
yeah.
before the game.
Yeah.
Like while the teams are lining up, it's just beautiful.
All those blue flares, no one's having a gender reveal party this weekend.
Oh, incredible. All right, everybody, let's have a quick break.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Guys, sorry, live on Sky News. Your reaction to the win?
We lost.
Sorry, reaction to the loss. And apologies.
Give a till end of season.
Reaction to the loss?
Shit.
Welcome back to the Football Ramble, everybody. Peter, what have you got on your screen?
I've got an email.
Oh,
Marcus Speller.
Thank goodness.
After Pep Guardiola revealed his love of Julia Roberts, Tim B sent us an email entitled Pep's Favourite Julia Roberts Films. Now, you know my policy on puns and stuff like this. I'll get involved, but I hate myself when I do it.
Yeah.
These are absolutely top class.
But before you do them, I haven't had a chance to say this yet. I don't think we have properly on the show either. Pep being really... making that Julia Roberts fucking shout from nowhere was weird.
It was. Yeah. It's an all-time great Pep moment.
It was
really
so strange. Weird.
After a 7-0 win, talks about how he's a failure. Whatever he wins, because Julia Roberts came to Manchester.
It wasn't even
United
prompted.
Instead,
the interviewer didn't even say, "Oh, I saw Julia Roberts was at the game." No, yeah. It came from
here's
nowhere.
Here's a piece of information none of you know. and it means I'm a failure.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But it's the sort of thing a manager under siege or under pressure does, but he's not.
He acts like he's back against the wall siege mentality all the time.
It's perfect. It's what he said. He's got three idols, which are Michael Jordan, Tiger Woods, Julia Roberts. It's the rule of three. It's a perfectly executed joke, and it's not even a joke.
Tim B sent us the email with a load of Pep's favourite Julia Roberts films. City Woman.
Good.
Miroslav, closer. Mm. The Mexican.
Ooh.
Ocean's Starting 11. Yeah. Ocean Shelby.
Bloody hell.
That doesn't make any
Ocean's
fucking
12.
Sense.
Ocean's
12. Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
But you're right, it doesn't make any sense.
It's a leap. It's a leap.
Stretch.
Back on top. Eat, Pray, Wagner Love. Ticket to Allardyce. Reborn Elisa Smile.
That's a nice one.
Charlotte's Howard's Web.
Why is Howard Webb in there?
Yeah, but why is Ticket to Allardyce? Pep doesn't appreciate what
Charlotte's Web, no? Is it like Charlotte's Web?
Yeah, but what's the player element?
Oh, right, sorry.
Howard Webb's got nothing to do with Man City.
Berkovich.
Berkovich.
Yeah, but again, though, like, what, it's nothing to do with Pep, a lot of this stuff. Just do a football, Julia Roberts.
Marcus, shut your damn mouth. Sleeping with Laurie McMenemy. Come on.
There you go.
That's very good.
That's justified the whole thing.
Has it?
Ayo Berkovich left Man City in 2004.
Yeah, I like it.
Sleeping with Laurie McMenemy is amazing, but I feel like the whole email has just been a precursor to be able to say that.
Yeah. Well, fair enough. Tim B's done us all a solid there. Blimey. Speaking of managers, Roy Hodgson's back, isn't he?
He is.
He swooped in.
There's a new bird of prey in town at the Eagles.
Let's take the piss here.
He's back at Crystal
Palace. I didn't think they'd ever do it.
Till the end of the season.
Yeah. He's breaking his own record for being the oldest manager in the Premier League, which I suppose technically he does every day.
Yeah.
But I think, Palace have been in the Premier League for 10 years now, which is not to be sniffed at.
That is surprising.
It is, isn't it? Because they've traditionally been up and down quite a lot. And, you know, if they go down now, it would potentially be quite disastrous. You don't want to sort of go back into being a bit of a yo-yo club. You want to sort of keep your, you know, stay established, essentially. And he's really the only person available that's going to give them a fighting chance of that, you would think.
Yeah.
Anything else is a risk at this point.
I mean,
it's
underwhelming.
I still think it's a risk.
I do think it's a little bit of a risk because
anything else is more of a risk.
I know, I think if you look at what he did with Watford, it wasn't particularly good, was it?
Mm. No, it's terrible. Won two out of their 18 games, I think.
Yeah.
And he knows a lot of these players, though, doesn't he? And it's...
Well, there's been a lot of upheaval.
Yeah, that was the whole job of Vieira, a rebuild, didn't he?
I mean, I know what you mean. The fact is they were dropping like a stone under Vieira and it wasn't changing, and they've been sleepwalking their way to the relegation zone, so they needed to do something, you would argue.
It's like you guys were saying before, it's just a shame that it's all about just basically not getting relegated, which is beneath
what... Yeah, but what's really interesting about the circumstances, though, is that Vieira had presided over... So he had basically... I don't know, Pete said rebuild. I wonder if you'd say it was a kind of like a change of style, wasn't it? And so he brought new players in because they wanted to play slightly differently because the Roy Hodgson thing was running out of steam because they only played in a certain way, et cetera, et cetera. We know all that, right? But the circumstances are interesting chiefly because Palace won one game in the league since November. Mm-hmm. And as Marcus said, they're sleepwalking their way to trouble. The teams they've played in that run were actually far more difficult than the teams they're about to play under Roy Hodgson. Yeah. Mm. So if you look at the games they've got between now and the end of the season, Leicester at home, Leeds away, Southampton away, Everton at home, Wolves away, West Ham at home, and Bournemouth at home, you know, Forest at home. They've got a lot of really winnable games.
Yeah, but if they don't win them, the teams around them are getting points, and that's a worry. So
I'm saying is Hodgson has got a much easier task than Vieira probably did in that period.
True, but they had that run of, you know, three games without a shot on target, right? So
yeah, I mean, I don't think you can make too much of an argument to keep Vieira, to be honest. And I understand that the games, but these games are more vital because you lose them, and the teams around them, you know, are elevated. So. Well, whatever you do, it's a gamble now. But I think they've done the right thing. Whether Hodgson will come in and be able to steady the ship, like you say, he's worked with a lot of them before, so you could understand the thinking. And they may well have tried to get other people. Maybe Nathan Jones wasn't available, Jim. Antonio Conte's not yet available. We're thinking he might be soon. But
they thought they'd never get Nathan Jones. He's too good at everything.
Yeah, exactly.
He's not going to look at a club like Palace.
Indeed, and of course
they
now
can't get near the XG he normally gets.
When he's spending all his time working on being world king, there's no way you can. can be Palace manager at
that's,
the same time.
That's very true. But obviously they've done this as well during the international break, so Hodgson can get his feet under the desk again. And so
get his
whereas,
feet under the barn.
That's right.
Get his feet under the hay bale.
Get his feet on
his
the
feet
branch.
On the perch.
Yeah.
Get his talons on the perch.
Whereas Spurs will probably sack Conte at right at the end when the Premier League's about to resume.
But do you think Hodgson, when he comes in, do you think is it his style to ruffle a few feathers or?
Well, maybe he'll turn a few heads. No, he'll just turn his own head.
Hey, you get involved.
I'll crush some mouse bones.
Oh, that's poor.
Ow, chat.
Why is that on the line?
He's not even trying. Yeah.
Well, you know when they have training at Premier League clubs and they have those big cranes with the cameras on?
Yeah.
Would you like it if just, if Roy was just perched on one of them?
Yeah.
Like every other Premier League club training ground's got the cameras on it, but it's just Roy's just up there.
That's just, but that's just a scouting network, just a network of owls swooping around the sky.
Well, I mean, they haven't had any shots. People might say, well, you flipping couldn't hit a barn door. Don't do that, you'll wake him up. Anyway, oh, bloody hell, what's this? Myself and Andy are going to be in your ears, ladies and gentlemen, first thing tomorrow morning with a Ramble Reacts responding to all the juicy international football that's going to happen this evening.
Yeah, I spent some time this morning when I was waiting for you guys to give Andy some shit on Twitter.
Yeah.
Which he responded in kind.
That'll help, yeah.
So that'll get him really fired up for the show.
And Andy is one to get fired up. Well, of course, one of the big stories that could well happen this evening is Zlatan Ibrahimovic, who's back in the Sweden squad.
I mean, it is remarkable.
41-year-old Zlatan Ibrahimovic.
I also love the fact that he's currently training, well, not currently as we're recording, but generally speaking, he's training with his son.
Yeah.
And his son's at Milan.
It's extraordinary. I mean, he became Serie A's oldest ever goal scorer last weekend. It was a penalty, so it doesn't count, of course. but he's, yeah. I mean, and they're playing Belgium as well. I mean, Belgium were criticised at the World Cup for having a slightly ageing squad who have missed the mark. Well, we'll tell you what, Belgium, we're going to show you how old
it's
our
like
man
a piss
is.
Take.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He said he is the past, present, and future of Swedish football, blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Well done, Zlatan.
I love that he still considers himself to be the future.
He loves it.
He's become
he?
This sort of shamanic figure. And it works. I like it.
Well, we shall see.
Ever since, so I think they'll probably start with Kulusevski and Isak tonight. And then I guess Zlatan will do a little cameo, probably.
Maybe.
Maybe he will. But speaking of Swedish forwards, ever since me and Pete announced to you, Marcus, actually, this is to your credit, you were talking about Alexander Isak and saying he could do this and he could do that. And Pete and I both said that he's not a goal scorer. He scored 3 goals in 2 games and been nominated for Player of the Month since then. Yeah. So.
If Roy the Owl wants us to get in touch, then they're not scoring at the moment, Palace, so we could just slag
have
off
a
their
dig
entire
at
front line.
Yeah.
Lopetegui?
I might do that right now, actually. I'm going to find a Crystal Palace player and I'm going to say he's crap and he never scores. I'm going to say...
Why not Thorfinn Zaha?
But he's good. We don't know he's good. Olsen Edouard.
There you go.
Yeah, crap, never scores.
On the Zlatan thing, just briefly, Wayne Rooney is 37 years old. But imagine him still playing for England and he's 4 years younger than Zlatan.
Rooney right now, a proper battering ram before.
Imagine.
But on Alexander Isak, Pete, does it annoy you that he's scoring now when you said he wasn't, or are you quite happy?
Everything annoys me. Newcastle succeeding annoys me.
Yeah,
succeeding annoys me.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Did the takeover annoy you?
Everything annoys me, Mark.
Did it touch you?
Did it touch you?
Gentlemen, this weekend, Croatia host Wales and Scotland host Cyprus, the other British nations. It involved Wales' first game, of course, since that disappointing World Cup. Aaron Ramsey has been named as the new Wales captain, replacing the retired Gareth Bale. Joe Allen has also stepped down, which is
a bit of a changing of the guard. And I think people were expecting Ramsey to do the same, were they not?
Well, yeah. I mean, fair enough, he's still in there. I was half expecting Gareth Bale still to play for Wales in between rounds of golf.
He was on the golf course. In my mind, I might be wrong, and I would fully admit in the past I have underestimated just how much Welsh people love Gareth Bale and my Twitter mentions have been dreadful because of it. But in my mind, Bale was playing on some televised pro-am golf tournament less than a day after he retired from football and doing an interview on the tee.
Yes, right.
Loves it.
So absolutely he absolutely loves it. But looking at these games, I mean, obviously Wales have got a much tougher assignment on Saturday than Scotland have. Mm-hmm. But if you look at the expanded European Championships now and the groups that these two teams have got, and I know Scotland have got this kind of fallback option with the Nations League route if they need it, but they've both got to look to be qualifying. Yeah. They've both got to give themselves... I mean, Scotland will find it very, very tough alongside Spain. Croatia are obviously a good team, we know that. Mm-hmm. But aside from that, You've got to give yourself a chance. You've got to back yourself. And Scotland need to start off with a solid win, and Wales need to try and make an impression on this game.
Well, Wales
Croatia.
Have got Croatia, Armenia, Turkey, and Latvia. Exactly. Bearing in mind the top two go through, so you know there's a chance there. Scotland have got Spain, Norway, Georgia, and Cyprus. Now Norway have obviously got the
big man.
They've got the big man,
Erling Targaryen, as Jim calls him.
Yeah, indeed, and Odegaard.
Well, he's not there, is he? Targaryen. I said that sincerely. Then he's pulled out.
No, but generally speaking, he's part of the setup.
But I mean, to miss him for two games is massive for Norway, though. So that, again, there's a chance there to try and take advantage of that if they don't perform as you'd expect. And this is a massive, massive moment for Wales in general as well, isn't it? Because Gareth Bale is arguably their most iconic ever player. Been really successful with them. They've had some incredible experiences in this recent generation of players. That's changing now, and the thing with it is with Wales in general is they feel like a big family. They're on a huge adventure together, so they need to sort of regenerate that feeling and not quite refine their identity, because they have one of the strongest identities in world football. But
that's
a
big statement,
Jim.
That's Michael Sheen did a fucking speech.
Yeah,
outrageous.
One of the biggest
Welsh people love being Welsh.
Yeah, but that doesn't mean to say that. I mean,
Pete, you're half Welsh. What do you think?
I think it's because Wales is closer. But yeah, I mean, I get very excited at Welsh. Them getting excited about their own nationality. I think
don't stand for it. Spurs faces.
It's
like
an identity defined by pride, which is a huge, amazing thing.
I would say Ireland, Scotland.
Wales are better than all of them, surely.
You're talking about identities in world football. I would say,
in world football,
Japan, Argentina, Brazil. I mean, come on, it's just a big statement, Jim.
Yeah, I don't mind making big statements.
I like it. Right.
Is it as big a statement as Lorraine Kelly's made recently?
That is a plot twist.
Lorraine Kelly, the person, or Lorraine Kelly, the character?
Lorraine Kelly, the Scottish presenter.
Mm. Yeah.
Now, we've mentioned your favourite, Kim Kardashian, recently on the show. And old Kimmy K might have been put off from attending Scottish football at some point soon, because she was obviously there at Arsenal supporting your boys, and Arsenal didn't do very well and whatnot. And we were thinking, is she cursed if she goes to football? Well, Lorraine Kelly has banned Kim Kardashian from attending games of the club she supports, Dundee United. She said, "Oh dear, I won't be inviting her to Tannadice. She's no coming. That's it, Kim. I know you want to, but you're not coming."
Why have you not done that in Lorraine Kelly's voice? Yeah. That is an absolute dereliction of duty.
Because I fear...
Do it now.
Because you might have thought it was Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's fine. We're all fine with that.
There's a bit of a ramble connection to Lorraine Kelly, because Jules's dog used to have a scrap with Lorraine Kelly's dog at puppy training.
That's why the curse was passed on.
That's why the curse is passed on.
It makes perfect sense.
No, the curse is because with Kim Kardashian, not Lorraine Kelly.
But it's gone via Lorraine Kelly.
Yeah. Has it?
I don't know that Kim Kardashian is cursed. I think actually she might have quite a charmed existence.
Yeah, probably.
She's a bit of a knob though, isn't she?
Hugely.
Marcus, you can't just give us a line like Lorraine. The people listening to this will want to hear it.
Mm. Oh dear. I won't be inviting her to Tannadice.
Exactly.
It's Mrs. Doubtfire.
That's what I'm about. Okay, I'll do Lorraine Kelly. She won't be coming to Tannadice anytime soon. Don't live a little, live a lotto.
Did you see Hacksaw Jim Duggan was in
Aberdeen? Aberdeen, I did see
that. He was
that.
At Aberdeen's ground, thank you very much.
Pittodrie, what was he doing there?
Just hanging out. Yeah. He's very excited by it. He was riding the top deck of Airbus, and he was very into the idea.
Did he have his bit of wood with him?
I think he just gets it. Give it to him. I don't think he.
Pete said he's got the biggest hands of any person.
Biggest hands I've ever seen.
The biggest hands I've shaken: David James, Chris Eubank.
Oh really?
Okay. I can understand that.
I can believe it.
Well, they all work with their hands.
Yeah, exactly. Indeed. Yeah, yeah. So we do expect Scotland to beat Cyprus though. on the weekend, you know.
Yeah, we'll do it for Lorraine.
Well, Scotland, of course. Are already guaranteed at least a place in the playoffs for Euro 2024 qualification after winning their Nations League group. So we talk about the top two, but that's lovely work from Scotland in the Nations League, of course.
Yeah.
So very, very well done. We shall see if they need that place, of course, as qualification goes on.
Absolutely right, Marcus. Now, right, it's time for Betfair's popular bet builder. Select from the most popular pre-made football bet builders using Betfair's handy app, and you can add them to your bet slip in just one tap. Every Friday on the previous show, we build our own Ramble popular bet builder. Today, we're looking ahead to England versus Ukraine on Sunday at tea time. I shall actually be there, so I look forward to that.
So will I, bruv.
Oh, good man. Jim, over to you. You've got first pick.
I am going to go for Bukayo Saka to score first. Gareth Southgate loves him, so I'm very confident he'll play from the beginning. And he's really good, isn't he?
We all love him. Mm. I mean, as you said earlier, Marcus, he causes teams all sorts of problems. Mm. Nice first pick. Peter.
Kieran Trippier to have an assist at any time, because I think he was unlucky not to start in the game yesterday. So I would very much like him to get involved, because that's all he's been doing at Newcastle all season.
Such a good player and such a leader as well. I think we've got quite a few captains in that squad now. We didn't mention that at the top of the show, but Trippier's obviously one of them. Marcus, you are up next.
Over 1.5 first half goals. This is not an easy assignment for England, of course. They'll pick a strong side.
Yeah.
But they will, I think they'll look to go in the first half and, you know, put a marker down early and score some goals.
And you think those first half goals will come from England?
Yes, I do. Yes. Okay, I mean, that's not the bet, of course. The bet is just in general over 1.5 exactly. First half goals.
Absolutely. And I've gone for a little bit of a rogue one, but I think it's quite an interesting one. I've gone for Ivan Toney to have two or more shots.
Ooh.
I think he's going to be introduced at some point. I think he's going to be really, really up for it. And I think if he is introduced late on, I think he can actually hurt Ukraine. And I think he'll be so motivated to do something.
Yeah.
Two or more shots. I don't, you know, I'm not saying he's going to score a couple of goals, but he just has to have two or more shots. So that works for me. So in summary, Bukayo Saka to score first, Kieran Trippier to assist any time, over 1.5 first half goals, and Ivan Toney to have two or more shots. A £5 bet with Betfair on the popular bet builder returns £163.74. That's £163.74. And if we win, all that money will go to Prostate Cancer UK. We'll be back with another round of Betfair's popular bet builder on the preview show next week, exclusive to Betfair Sportsbook. T's and C's apply. 18 plus only. For more information on responsible gambling, head to begambleaware.org.
Dean Smith also says you're an encyclopedia of football.
A what?
An encyclopedia of football.
I don't know what that means.
It's time for Jack's Encyclopedia, a simple game of categories. You all know how to play it. We're going to kick things off with Jim Campbell. He's already faffing about with his pencil.
Pen doesn't work.
Use the Sports Direct pen for crying out loud.
The giant Sports Direct pen.
The giant Sports Direct pen full of coffee. Right, it's time for the first round, if that's all right with you, Jim Campbell?
Yep.
All right. Members of the England squad at Italia 90. There are 23 players. Oof. Members of the England squad at Italia 90. You are all in the frame when it comes to how old you were at the time to enjoy this round. Marcus is salivating. He's drooling down his front. Jim Campbell, can we have your first name, please?
I'm going to go for Gary Lineker.
Gary Lineker. Yes, indeed. Marcus?
Peter Beardsley.
Peter Beardsley. Yes.
Paul Gascoigne.
Paul Gascoigne. Jim?
Chris Waddle.
Chris Waddle. Mm-hmm.
John Barnes.
John Barnes.
Peter Shilton.
Peter Shilton.
Paul Parker.
Paul.
Oh, very nice.
Parker. It's nice.
Tackles like a ferret.
We're doing that. Stuart Pearce.
I'll go for... Now, I got in trouble last time for trying to be too clever.
Right.
Mark Wright.
He only wears Essex.
A different Mark Wright.
David Platt.
David Platt.
Good.
Over the shoulder.
Des Walker.
Des Walker. Ah.
Oh, Steve Hodge.
Like that.
I like that one. Oh. That's a naughty one.
Chris Woods.
Chris Woods.
Teddy Butcher.
Teddy Butcher. Nice.
Oh, now it's getting tough.
Now it's getting
fucking down to the fucking brass tacks, boys. Yeah. I will go for, I think this is right, please be right, Dave Besant. Yes.
Yes, yeah. Beautiful. Well, still in the game.
Ooh.
He replaced David Seaman after the first game.
That's right. Come on, where's the fucking button?
Sorry, I'm slow on that one. Just watching his face contort.
Alan Smith.
Sorry, mate. Marcus?
Brian Robson.
Oh, of course.
Lovely stuff.
Very good. So if I don't get one, Marcus won the point.
Mm-hmm.
There's not many left. I'm really struggling now.
I'm giggling because there's one really obvious one.
It's Torres to give Chelsea.
Tony DiRigo.
Oh, well, yeah.
Tony DiRigo.
Well played.
Nice.
Very good. Trevor Stephen.
Marcus.
Oh, it's good.
It's good.
Very good. Gary Stevens?
Yeah.
Yes. Two Stevens.
Steve Ball.
Steve Ball.
Are we out? We must be out.
No, you got one, two, three left.
Oh, this is great. Come on, Spelzy. Whatever happens, really well good. Played. It's on me.
Oh, is it? Sorry.
Yeah. It's Torres.
Hang about. I didn't give you the chance.
Well, that helps.
The headline has been written.
Three left.
I'm out.
Can I get... So, Steve McMahon's one.
Steve McMahon is
good.
One, yeah.
Midfield,
I'm not sure. Would David Rowcastle be one?
Nope.
No, okay.
Nope.
Who else is it? You might as well just give it.
Neil Webb.
Yeah, oh, Neil Webb, yeah.
And I literally mentioned him, Dave Seaman.
Yeah.
I'm surprised. So there was four goalkeepers then.
Yeah, because Seaman
went
replaced.
And Besson came in.
Yeah,
right.
He was
okay.
In the squad, wasn't he? So,
yeah.
You mentioned him.
Yeah,
I mentioned him.
Don't mention the players again. Marcus gets the point.
I mentioned him and you missed out. All right, then it's time for number two. We're going to kick things off with Marcus Bella. 12 presenters.
Oh no.
Presenters.
Oh no.
Main presenters of Soccer AM.
I knew you were going to say that.
Yes. We were talking about some of these before the show.
Well, given that Marcus actually worked on the show.
I know.
Pretty... Yeah, there was only one of them working there at the time. Yeah. I was behind the scenes, by the way, everybody.
There was only one of them working there at the time. Fairly certain it was a duo.
Don't give him any tips.
I'm not giving him any tips.
Any help.
I'm just
Tim Lovejoy. Spelzy.
Tim Lovejoy, correct.
That's me, isn't it?
Yeah.
Andy Goldstein.
Max Rushton.
Helen Chamberlain. Struggling now, aren't we?
Russ Williams.
Well played.
Lloyd Griffith.
Oh, good.
Jimmy Bullard.
Can I just say Fenners? Because that's basically what he's known as.
Yeah. Do you know his actual name? But
no.
Yeah, it's fair. Okay, I'll give you that. Fendley. I played football with him once. He got a kick to the head.
It's Torres. A
pint of hooch.
Correct, no. Jim's out. Marcus is up. Don't extend your laughter to cheat. I know what you're like. I know what you're up to.
Hooch, that was a great gag, Jim.
Great gag. I'll press it.
Don't do it.
Main presenters of Soccer M, please. You've got 1, 2, 3, 4 left.
Four?
Fuck you now.
It's Torres.
Pele.
No, Marcus, Pele did not present Soccer AM. But I'd love to see him do the little shooty-shoots, the drills.
Would I have to give his full name?
Yeah.
I've got nothing.
I don't know.
I cannot believe I'm still in this.
I'll have an educated guess. At some point, I feel like Freddie Flintoff must have presented.
It's a pretty good shout. No, someone called Jane Hoffman. Dave Norton.
What are you doing?
What?
No, that's it. We didn't get it.
Who gets the point?
You didn't get it.
No, you roll over.
It rolls over, doesn't it?
Oh, I thought we had to keep going.
No, no, it rolls over because you can't. No one's got the. Right, no one's got anything to offer.
Be terrible.
Normally, what would happen is if Jim goes out and then you and I restart the round, and we don't get it, we might get given another go. He knows we've got nothing.
No one's got anything. So we move on. Jen Hoffman, Dave Norton, Gary A. Stevens, and Rob Stewart. Gary A. Stevens, he's like a DJ, wasn't
he? I'm fairly certain none of those people exist.
The AI.
Yeah. Fucking hell.
All right. The third round, we'll kick things off with you, Lukey Moore.
Okay.
It's a good one. But again, this whole show, this whole Jack's Encyclopedia is absolutely built for Marcus Speller. And with Marcus Speller not winning it, makes me sick to my stomach this has happened.
Marcus is 1-0 up.
Yeah. Teams... Sven-Göran Eriksson has managed, including international sides.
This show has become a joke. This part of the show. Last week, I was up against Andy. I had teams who won the UEFA Cup.
This is why Soccer M got cancelled. Yeah. Right. Lukey Moore.
Lazio.
Jim.
Man City.
Did you say including international teams?
Yes.
England.
Fuck yeah, I'll stick your neck out.
Yeah. That's an answer.
Annoyed. Needlessly annoyed.
I think he's managed Leicester City.
He has managed Leicester City.
Very good.
Jim?
Mexico.
Oh,
I forgot about that.
Ivory Coast.
Philippines?
Yeah.
Every time I do one, Marcus nods with a really big smile.
Notts County?
Just think nightlife. Less good.
He was linked with him heavily.
I think he was involved in some kind of.
He was like, wasn't he like kind of like director of football or something? Yeah, I don't think he ever managed. Marcus, unlucky that, Jim.
Benfica.
Yes, he's still got good sides.
In the words of Captain America, I could do this all day.
So I don't know why I've got this in my mind, but I will say this. Earlier in the week, I read Tord Grip's Wikipedia page.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I'm not sure why, but I just did it.
The wife was out.
I thought to myself, he must be really old.
Where's Gary Neville's orgasm here? Yeah.
And he is really old. He's 85.
Right, yeah.
And I think
I'm allowing it.
I think he and Sven managed... I think he managed a team with Tord as the assistant manager.
Really?
And I think they're called Orebro.
Well, that is impressive if you get that.
Oh!
Why didn't you go for something obvious? I've got a few here.
Go on.
Sampdoria is one. Yeah. IFK Gothenburg.
Yeah.
Trying
to throw your
throw them. Sorry? Tromso? Tromso, the place he's from, he managed.
Tromso's in Norway, my friend.
Might have done Jewel Gardens, the side Sheringham once played for. No, he didn't do them.
China. Think China. Let's have two Chinese sides. Come on. I'm doing it.
He's already won.
China. Let's have it. This is his game.
Yeah, Guangzhou. This all day,
Guangzhou.
Apparently.
Guangzhou. Correct. And
Shanghai.
Yeah.
That's the other one.
Let's have two from Italy.
We said Lazio, we said Sampdoria. He also managed the team that is
Marcus Bellawinda.
Remind me.
Roma.
It was Roma, yeah.
Fiorentina. Shenzhen. And Degerfors IF.
Degerfors.
It's the life of Sven Göran Eriksson.
I like the idea that if someone said to someone else, you should listen to the Football Ramble. I really, right. What's it about? So basically, a bloke lists all the teams that Sven managed over the Street Fighter 2 soundtrack.
Yeah. And then they do a guide to him the next week.
I'll tell you what, if Soccer EM's getting canned for doing jokes about Bob Bradley still in 2023, we're fucked.
We're in trouble.
Yeah.
We are in trouble.
We've not even got the goal to kick in.
No.
Two top bins.
Yeah. Oh, dear me. There we are, everybody. Thank you very much for listening to the Football Ramble preview show sponsored by Betfair, part of the Acast Creator Network. For more of our nonsense, if you want that, do follow us on Twitter, TikTok and YouTube at Football Ramble, at Football Ramble Daily on Instagram as well. And don't forget to subscribe on your podcast app to us. It's been a bloody pleasure talking with you. Well done, Luke Moore.
I don't think I've ever won a point on Jack's Encyclopedia.
You have.
Okay. It doesn't
Andy
feel
messed
like
up the other week.
Yeah.
Well done, Pete Donaldson.
Thank you. Hello.
Well done, Jim Campbell.
Hello.
Well done, England. Well done, everybody. The keys are in the lock. See you tomorrow morning. Andy and I will be back, of course, with Ramble Reacts. And then on Monday, we'll be talking all the other things that happened after Friday evening's international football. So we'll see you then.
The Football Ramble is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with something, you know. And then we'll weigh around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.